You have your Bibles this morning if you turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts, or 4 living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast, or living creature, was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. The third beast had the face as a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, or living creatures, had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Father, we are so glad and thankful to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. Thank you, God, for your presence among us. We treasure and value your presence. Ask for your direction. Pray, dear Lord, for the sense of your glory among us. Ask you to touch hearts and lives in this place. Bring every one of us, Lord Jesus, into the very presence of God that we may feel that God is among us. Hallelujah. Oh, God, may we reverence you and give glory to you this morning. And I pray that you'd put in every heart in this place a desire to honor the Lord with our life and a desire to live with you forever, Father, when life here is over with. I pray, Lord, that there'd be something inside of us that says we will not be denied, that by the grace of God, we're going to live with the Lord in all eternity. We pray, Jesus, that you'd bless our efforts this morning as we declare the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach this morning for a few minutes on a glimpse into heaven. The Apostle John had a rare privilege of seeing into heaven and living to tell what he saw. And this is the unique thing about the Apostle John. He saw scenes of heaven. This is just one of them. He saw many scenes of heaven in the book of Revelation, and he lived to tell what he saw, to share with us the wonders of heaven. And so in the book of Revelation, we have the greatest details about heaven that's found in the whole Bible. And this is one of those visions that John had in chapters 4 and 5. That follow his vision of Christ in chapter 1. John had a vision of Jesus in chapter 1. He saw him, white hair, piercing eyes like flames of fire, feet like burned in brass. He had a robe down to his feet. And Jesus was getting ready to proceed in judgment upon the house of God. And that is what we see in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, is the judgment of the churches. And following the judgment of the churches, we see in Revelation chapter 6, the beginning of the judgment of the world. You remember, this is the order that Peter told us about, that judgment must first begin at the house of God. And that is what we see in Revelation 2 and 3. But judgment is going to proceed in the world beginning in Revelation chapter 6. So just before the judgment of the world, we see a vision of heaven and preparations being made in heaven for that judgment of the world. But I want to point out a few things to you in Revelation chapter 4 about heaven. And we'll try to make it short and sweet. But the first thing that I want you to notice about heaven, the first thing that John noticed about heaven was the throne of God. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. The first thing he noticed about heaven, there was a throne and somebody sitting on that throne. He did not see any form. He did not describe to us any form that he saw on that throne. But he told us in verse 3, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and like a sardine stone. Beautiful stones. In other words, the one sitting on that throne had a radiant beauty. Now, we don't often think about God like that, but John tells us that God is beautiful. Hallelujah. My God is beautiful. How many of us have ever thought of God as being beautiful? Well, you know, when you realize what has come from His hand, His handiwork that we behold in the world around us, the beauty of His creation, the beauty of the grass, the fields, the trees, the flowers, the beauty of the heavens, the glory of the heavens. How could it be that God could make such beautiful things? God is beautiful in Himself. There is an attraction about God that the world misses sometimes. And sometimes even as we as saints of God fail to realize, there's an attraction about God. God is beautiful. Hallelujah. And John tells us that fact, that God is beautiful. Hallelujah. My, we ought not to run from God. We ought not to push God aside. We ought not to leave God out of our life. God is beautiful. Hallelujah. John tells us that God is beautiful. Not only does he tell us that God is beautiful, he tells us that God sits on a throne. A throne speaks of a kingdom. A throne speaks of a king. God rules. He is a ruler. He has authority. He has power. There's a throne in heaven, and God is sitting on a throne. Sometimes we forget that. Sister Reba, sometimes we forget that. When troubles are swirling around us, when it seems like that things are falling apart, collapsing around us, sometimes we forget that God sits on a throne. Hallelujah. And He rules and He reigns. And when it seems like that the enemy's having his way, we understand there's somebody that rules in this universe. God sits on a throne this morning. He has power. He has authority. So we are not afraid. We are told to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God sits on a throne. He rules. He has authority. He has power. There's order in heaven. You'll notice as we read about heaven, there's order in heaven, perfect order in heaven, because God rules, God's law rules in heaven. There's perfect order. There's no chaos in heaven. God is not the author of confusion. Everything in heaven is in order because God rules in heaven. Secondly, I want you to notice about heaven. Second thing that John tells us is, not only did he see a throne and God sitting on the throne, but he saw redeemed saints in heaven. Round about that throne were 24 seats. That word seat means thrones. There's more thrones there. There's people sitting on thrones there. 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. That 24 elders is a representative group of redeemed saints. When we read in Revelation chapter 5 about them singing a new song, verse 9, these 24 elders sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood," listen to this, "out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations," so that these 24 elders are a representative group. They represent saints of God from every tongue, people, and nation. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11 tells us, Jesus said, "I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." He said they're going to come. How many? Many. Many's going to come. Many from the east. Many from the west. That included us. Hallelujah. Many from the west are going to come and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes Brother Eddie and Sister Connie sing a song about they'll be coming up from every nation. They'll be coming from the north and the south, from the east and the west, and on their way to that place of rest. And God has got people, brother, around this globe and that love Him, and heaven's going to be a place and of assembly for the people of God. And God's heaven includes the redeemed saints of God. And you and I can be part of that group too. And you and I can be part of that number that sings in heaven about being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb out of every nation and tongue and people. Brother, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss out on that crowd in heaven that's singing the redeemed song of the people of God. Thirdly, he saw scenes of worship. He saw four living creatures round the throne of God crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Heaven is a place of worship. Now I know that when we get to heaven, heaven's not just going to be a glorious camp meeting all the time. We're not just going to be sitting around the throne or dangling our feet in the river of life. The Bible tells us in other places we'll be serving the Lord. There will be activity in heaven. There'll be a learning process in heaven. You won't automatically know everything when you get to heaven. If you knew everything, you'd know everything God knows. But I'm telling you, God's knowledge is infinite. And when you get to heaven, you'll still be learning. While the ages roll on, God will be unfolding to you the depth of His character, the greatness of His nature. And as we spend the eternal ages in heaven, that infinite nature and character of God will be unfolded to us. And we'll be continually learning, growing in knowledge, even in heaven. about the greatness and glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, brother, it's going to be a place of worship. We're going to worship God. And the worship that we see in heaven involves a declaration of the holiness of God. They're crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." They realize that this is God's chief characteristic, that God is holy. Hallelujah. And not only is God holy, but God has consented to share His holiness with His people. God has got a holy people. He's made for them a holy place. They're coming to that holy place to worship a holy God. And when we get to heaven, this is part of the worship of God's people, declaring, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Praise God. And not only are they worshiping God by declaring His holiness, but they are declaring God's worthiness. You see the 24 elders in verses 10 and 11, they fall down before Him on the throne. They worship Him that liveth forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So the worship in heaven involves the declaration of God's worthiness. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Well, really, this is the definition of worship. Worship comes from two words that mean worth-ship. That God is worthy to be adored. God is worthy to be glorified. God is worthy to be praised. So these people are declaring the worthiness of God. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. We live in a day that men are worshipped and adored. We just saw the death of an important cultural icon in Michael Jackson. And there was so much adoration poured out upon this man because of his abilities to entertain the masses. And thousands and millions of people around the world gave to him their worship, their adoration. But you know, in my mind, I ask the question, is a man like that worthy of such adoration and such glory? Well, we don't have no question about this. We can say from our hearts, "Worthy is the Lord to receive glory and honor and power." Hallelujah. We can look at Michael Jackson's life and we say, well, you know, perhaps the man had great talent. I'm sure he did. But what about the other aspects of his life? You know, that's not all there is to a man's life, just the talents and gifts and abilities that he's been given. What did he do with them? How did he live his life? This is the question we ask. But when we look at God, there's no fault in Him. There's nothing we can say, "God, you failed here." There's nowhere that we can say, "God, we found a flaw in your character." But we can say, "Worthy is the Lord to receive glory and honor and power." We just buried a prominent politician in this country, Ted Kennedy. He's from a prominent political family in this country that has produced leaders for years in this nation. The Kennedy family is almost like a royal family in America. And many, many people have deep feelings toward the Kennedy family, and not only because of their power, political power, but because of the tragedies that have befallen this family over the years. And Ted Kennedy, when he passed away, the nation paid great tribute to this senator from Massachusetts. But we all know the foibles and failures of Ted Kennedy. I mean, it's well known the kind of life that he lived. And we ask the question, is a man like that worthy of such honor? But we don't have any question about God. God is worthy to receive glory and to receive honor. Now you hear me. God is worthy to receive honor. We have a very popular president in President Obama. And he wields great power in his office as President of the United States of America. We ask the question, is this man worthy to wield such power? And perhaps we could say that about any man that held that office. Would he be worthy to wield such power? You know, it takes a man of great character to wield power in a responsible way. And we could ask the question about any man that sat in that office with such power. Is that man worthy to wield such power? But we don't have any question about God. We can say with those saints in heaven, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. Now listen, if people adore Michael Jackson and Ted Kennedy and President Obama, and we all know the foibles and failures of these people, why is it that the people of God cannot give to God the glory, the honor, the worship that He deserves? Because He's worthy. Brother, Jesus is worthy. Our Father is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. No flaws, no failures. Hallelujah. He's worthy this morning, and we ought to give Him glory and honor that's due unto His name. Praise God. I tell you what, brother, this is one reason why people are not going to heaven. Because they do not consider God worthy of glory, honor, and power. Amen. But everybody in heaven considers God worthy of glory and honor and power. Hey, if you're counting on going to heaven and you're not worshiping God now, I tell you what, you better get a ticket, because the one you've got ain't going to work. When you get to heaven, heaven's going to be a place of worship. And we've got to recognize now in this life that God is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. We've got to give Him glory now if we're going to give Him glory then. Oh yeah, heaven would be a burden to those that don't love God. Heaven would be hell to those who despise God. I'm telling you, if you go to heaven, you go to heaven because you love God. You go to heaven because you count it worthy to receive glory and honor and power. You go to heaven because you esteem Him that sits on the throne. You live under His rule. You live under His power and His authority. You esteem God worthy to receive glory and honor and power. This is what heaven is about. Heaven's a real place. I'm telling you, people, when they die in Jesus, they go directly to heaven. It's a real place. I've been in the presence of people making the crossing from this world to the next. And some of them, I didn't know where they were going. But some of them, heaven testified of where they went. Hallelujah. And I knew that there was an unseen host that had showed up to escort a pure, devoted soul from this world to the next. A pastor called on a young woman that was very seriously ill. She was sitting up in the bed, propped up in the bed, looking off in the distance beyond this world. She said, now just as soon as they opened the gate, I'll go in. And then she sunk back in disappointment. She said, they let Mamie go in ahead of me. But soon, I'll go in. Moments later, she said, they let Grandpa in ahead of me. But next time, I'll go in for sure. The pastor had to leave. And he found out that the young woman died that morning. He began to inquire about the identity of Mamie and Grandpa. He found out that Mamie was a girl that had once been a neighbor and had moved off. And Grandpa was a friend of the family that lived off somewhere else. He got their addresses. He corresponded with their families. He found out that both of them had died that very morning that young girl had died. And that young girl was seeing the very gates of heaven. She said, Mamie went in before me. Grandpa made it in before me. But surely I'll be next. You know, heaven is real. Oh my, it's very real. The songwriter said, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Face to face, what will it be? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. The blind songwriter, what's her name? Fanny Crosby wrote that song, I shall know Him. I shall know Him. And redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands. Somebody said, Fanny Crosby, don't you feel sorry for yourself that you can't see? And she said, I don't feel sorry for myself because I can't see. She said, for the first face that I'll see will be the face of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And wrote that song, I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hands. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano this morning. I want you to go to heaven. Jesus wants you to go to heaven. And the preparation's got to be made now to go to heaven. If you haven't been saved, you haven't been born again, you haven't come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't go to heaven unless you know Him, unless you worship Him and love Him. You can't go to heaven unless you count Him worthy. Worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. Hallelujah. Is that the way you feel about Him this morning? Have you come to know the Lord? Can you say, God is beautiful. Oh, how I love Him. Praise God. This is what heaven, this is the first thing that John noticed about heaven. That throne and Him that was sitting on that throne. Beautiful. A beautiful being. Let's stand together. While we wait for a few moments here, is anyone in this building, you're not ready to go? The Lord has ordered this service this morning for you. Speak to your heart. Help you to get ready to go to heaven. Jesus will meet you at this altar, arms wide open, welcome you into the kingdom of God. Change your mind about God, change your mind about Jesus. Change your mind about heaven. Sing one more verse of that, Sister Judy. The Lord has been in this place this morning. There's somebody in this building that the Lord has spoken to your heart, and there's doubts in your mind about whether or not you'd go to heaven. God wants to settle those doubts this morning around this altar. Give you an experience that you can know I'm ready to go, ready to meet the Lord. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. God will settle the doubts in your mind and in your heart. Sin will rob you of assurance, but the forgiveness of God will provide assurance for you. If something were to happen to you before you got home, you know where you'd go. God will give you that assurance. Is there another you'd like to come? Make your calling and election sure. Is there another you'd like to come and make your calling and election sure? Has sin robbed you of your assurance? You have doubts. Perhaps you know you would not go to heaven. God wants to give you the assurance this morning. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in heaven. If you were to die today, you could go to heaven. All right, all that will, join with us in the altars. We have some here praying. Maybe there be others that would join us as we come into these altars. If you don't have anything else to do, to pray about, come tell God how worthy He is to receive glory and honor and power.